And I have this brick here. Some of you remember these bricks. Some of you have these bricks in your house. And so I just want to read a little bit of our history for you today. In 2003, a young pastor said to his crazy wife, in 2003, "I feel called to plant churches all over the world." To which his crazy wife replied, "Yeah, okay, we'll see." You guys know me. From that moment, God took Rich and I on a 14-year journey of preparation involving emotional and spiritual healing. In 2016, Richie felt stirred by God to begin building. Being on staff at Countryside Christian Center, he went to the leadership team and shared his heart and vision for planting churches. He was met with a resounding confirmation and affirmation and given approval and permission to plant a church in St. Petersburg, Florida. In September of 2016, we had our very first launch team meeting. Rich, I, Sean, Ari, Linda Benedetti, Sean and Sarah Markison, and a few others sat at a table dreaming and putting practical steps into place on what our church would look like, what we were uniquely called to do, and who we were called to reach for Jesus. Our heart was to see people who were tired of church as usual experience more of God. The term "you belong here" made its way on shirts and mailers and provided a visual for what we were called to do. We spent 1 year fundraising and connecting with people in the community. It was exciting, and we were building God's kingdom, and there was a sense that we were part of something bigger. The launch date was set for September 10th, but Hurricane Irma caused the location of the church, a community center in the heart of St. Pete, to be without power and resources. We delayed the launch until September 24th of 2017. That day, 213 people gathered in a gymnasium on a Saturday night in St. Pete to celebrate what only God could do. After only 6 months on Saturday night service, we transitioned into a new location and a new day. In April of 2018, we moved to North Shore Elementary and launched Sunday services. Oh, Jesus, only Richie loved North Shore, y'all. Every single Sunday, 20 plus volunteers transitioned an elementary cafeteria and classrooms into a portable church. Every piece of equipment was loaded onto a U-Haul truck by Greg and Jeremy. The night before, I keep calling him Greg for the last 5 years, y'all. So here we go. No surprise there. Craig and Jeremy, the night before. On Sunday at 7 a.m., teams of people unloaded, set up classrooms, created welcome environments, and literally carried the church on their backs. The term "we do hard things" became the motto, reinforcing that this church was called to do something unique by God. In September of 2019, after 2 years of setup and teardown, God saw fit to provide us with this space we are in now. We had big dreams and plans of building in this community, developing counseling and social services programs, and expanding our community outreach. In an effort to kickstart this dream, Ari and Sean Eckert hosted a cardio drumming fundraising to provide community impact funds to go towards counseling and benevolence. We adopted the phrase, "We are part of something bigger," to remind us of those early days and the expansion of what God called us to do. Although we were a one location community, we were ultimately called to continue advancing the kingdom however God led and wherever He saw fit. Just 6 months later, the COVID-19 virus caused the entire world to shut down. This space that God gave us provided a way for us to film Sunday services weekly, hosted food drop-off banks, space for kids to play when parks had shut down and schools were shut down, and the ability for us to provide exercise space for people who were about to kill their kids. I'm just kidding. You know they were. Or not. Just kidding. Yes. So although we were only in lockdown for 12 weeks, many were fearful to return to in-person services. For the next 12 months, 12 months. We were shut down, transitioned, and setbacks as the world navigated the pandemic, sickness and fear. In 2021, an effort to move forward, we hosted our first ever women's conference called Surpass, where over 60 women who were tired, weary, and battle-worn were able to come to TCC and be revived and refreshed. In the summer of that year, Richie mentioned a phrase in his sermon meant to encourage people to stop hiding from the pandemic, from others, and ultimately from living. The term Play Free birthed a sermon series, a new motto, and eventually a book. When God named this church the Community Chapel, he gave Richie these verses as a foundation. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ as the cornerstone. That holds all the parts together. We see it all taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God for all of us into it, a temple where God is quite at home. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Those verses were placed on bricks, reminding each of us that called TCC their home that there was a place for them in the kingdom of God and in the community chapel. Today, 5 years later, we are again in a position of transition. God is stirring hearts, restoring vision, changing lives, and using each one of you. He is fitting you into his kingdom brick by brick with Christ as the cornerstone of his church. No hurricane, location change, global pandemic, or any other hurdle the enemy has employed has been able to stop what the power of God has put into place. Would you stand on your feet and praise God for the next 5 years? Because today we celebrate all he has accomplished in 5 years. This day is not a celebration of one person's yes, but the faithfulness of our God.
Man, you can, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, you can be seated. I appreciate it. Man, I don't know. I just feel the Holy Ghost just about to break out in some stuff. So, like Missy said, this is a very, it's a monumental feat. 5 years. Okay, this is not one. 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears that I've gone into this, the building of God's kingdom. And I do feel that God's just getting ready to do stuff. And like we said before, a lot of that was just foundational work, if you could look at it as foundational, because of the magnitude of what it is. And over time, God reveals that and what that looks like. And my heart is today, as we go into this, this is going to be more of what I feel your legacy to the next generation should be. Last couple weeks, we talked about Deborah. We talked about Miriam. First week, I talked about Job, and nobody liked that, so we scrapped that message. And so today, I want to talk about you and your legacy and what that looks like for you when it's all said and done. When it's all said and done, what would you look back and tell the generation behind you coming? Because there is a generation coming up behind you, just like there's a generation that has gone before you. And if you pick it up in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You have witnesses that have gone before you that are telling you, hey, you can do this. First thing you have to know is you got to look up. Look up. Because there is someone who is for you in this thing. If you don't think, I want you to think about your life and think about how you used to be and where you came from and what God has taken you from until now. God has seen you through seasons of your life that have been very difficult and hard probably for you to express and put into words because of what God was doing in your life. And your only choice, if you think about it, was to look up. You couldn't look anywhere else. Because the people weren't doing it for you. Your circumstances weren't doing it for you. The only person who did it for you was Jesus. And these are the people that have gone before you writing this and saying, hey, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. But in order for you to make it, a couple things you need to do is you got to strip off some stuff that's entangling you. And if you're going to make it in this life, you got to look up. You can't look to the side. You can't look to the right. You can't look to the left because there are too many people ensnared by what everybody else is doing. You got to look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and the perfecter of the faith. If he started it, he's going to finish it. So I have to continually look up to him. Haven't you seen that though? The more you try to gravitate toward people or hang on to people, the less effective you are. Because people are not God and they are not designed to perfect your faith. God will use them in the perfecting process, but they are not designed to perfect your faith. Only God can do that because God is the one who initiated it and God knows what it's supposed to look like in the end. Because in the end, your eternal dwelling is really what matters. You're going to heaven. You're not staying here. So where we got in trouble and where people get in trouble is they start to look at everyone else and they try to look for affirmation and they try to look for satisfaction and they try to look for something that can fill the need. And we get in trouble because then what happens is that we become obsessed with them and not God. I can remember a couple years ago when COVID hit and we were in that transition of how we were going to do church and what was going to happen and the way to do it, and we decided we're going to go the video route and went online, and it was effective for a season, but then I felt like God said, that's enough. You need to start getting back into community and get moving again, because it was a very slippery slope that people are still dealing with today as far as coming back into community. And we were really on that line. And God said, you're not going over that line backwards like a lot of people are. You need to go, keep going forward. And so God said, you go, keep moving. Look up, keep moving. I got you. Keep moving. Because it was God's design for us to honor him in the process. And if we were to look back over that season, you know how you got through that season? Looking up. I almost died, but I'm looking up. It wasn't anyone. So looking up, how'd you get out of it? Looked up. Why? Because they weren't coming. They couldn't come because they weren't allowed to come. And it was appropriate because it was like God designed it that way. They're not coming. Guess what? You got to look up. What are you going to do when what you used to hang on to doesn't come? The phone call you don't get, you lost the number. You're in a position now. Now you can't get in because you're considered unclean and they can't come and see you because you're not quarantined and there are things now. We got all this other stuff in the mix. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to look up. My only choice is to look up. I can't have church like normal. What am I going to do? My only choice is to look up, get in the Word, practice the presence of God, rehearse God's goodness, get His Word in my heart, all that stuff. That's my only choice. And God wanted it that way. Don is the only one who agrees with that. Why? This is why. We were so enamored with what was happening in the world. I want you to think about it, and you can tell on yourself to yourself. Before COVID hit, we were booming. We were comfortable. Things were happening. I'm like, man, we're making money. Things are happening. All of a sudden, God said, no, no more. I'm going to let something out. Open the door, let it out. And what it did, it forced everybody to their corners. Their corners. And what it did is that it forced you to sit down and have to look at the trainer and say, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? There's an enemy on the other side. I haven't seen this one before. What are we going to do now? This is bigger than you think, man. So listen, while we're here, let's talk about some things. Number one, I don't like your codependency. I don't like it. I don't like your emotional dysfunction in this area. We're going to start to fix this a little bit. I don't like the fact that you quit. I just don't like that anymore. And as a trainer, I'm just trying to help you understand that that enemy wants to take you out. And so we're going to keep you here a little bit longer so we can work on some stuff. And God does that. God will take you and set you apart and put you in places where it's just you and him. And this is what he did with the world. If you could see it with eyes of faith, to your corners. We got to go to work. I'm going to deal with some of your obsessions in private. So that when you get back into the flow of things, there's change. And we don't have to go back to this spot again. Oh, some of you think, well, God really wasn't in this. It was man-made. If you don't get anything else of what's happened at this church over the last 3 months, read through the book of the prophets, read through Jeremiah, read through Isaiah, when God placed people under a yoke and said, deal with it. I'm sending you into captivity. Because in the end, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in your future. I know the plans, but I'm sending you there because I know once you're in there, guess what you're going to do? You're going to look up. Because you don't do it anytime, and you don't do it when you're supposed to. So I want to put you in this spot so you have to look up and say, oh, it's you. Yeah, because God will allow it to turn in your favor if you can see with eyes of faith. And God will allow it to turn upside down to accomplish his purpose. And you have to get your mind and your thoughts to that and on God to see God past your limited mindset of what he is just doing with you. God is doing something with the world. This is not about TCC. This is not about your job. God is doing something with the world. He messed up the world on purpose so that the world can start to really see the frailty of human reasoning, ideology, exaltation of knowledge. God said, I'm going to allow all that to take place where you're going to have to grapple with the effects of truth and what is not truth. And we see people still dealing with that today. I can't believe the fact that I am still in stores with people wearing masks. I can't believe it. And I'm shopping. I'm looking at this person as I'm walking by. I'm like, no, it's not the millennials. Here's the geriatric club. It's some of them. Most of them are older people. I'm like, what are, and some of them are younger people, but I'm looking at older couples. I'm like, listen, two things. You're scared of getting it, or you came from a state that had you so locked down that you don't know that there's freedom here and that you don't have to do that. Look up. You're not in Michigan anymore here. This ain't Kansas either anymore. Look up. Second thing you need to do is look in. Look in. Let's take a look at the book of James. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Look intently into the word. Not just half-heartedly. Because you know how some people do it? They do like the skim. Oh, okay, I know. I've already read this verse. And they skim. And they forget what they read. And then they go out and like, Lord, why isn't my life working? Because you didn't catch anything. All you did was perform a religious exercise because you think that's what I'm pleased with. And then because you put in your time, there really was no work. You didn't catch anything from it because you were looking for what you wanted to see, not for what I wanted to show you. Because if you really look intently, you'll see there's freedom in there. Not forgetting what you have seen, you'll be blessed in what you do. Do you know when you look at the scripture, it breaks down like this? You'll be the envy of people. You know that's what freedom does? Why have people moved here? Freedom. No matter what it looks like, people want freedom. It is something inside of us that is a need that has to be met. We want freedom. Boundaries, yes, but there's something inside of us that wants freedom. Why? Because we know that Jesus came to give us freedom. So when you read the word brings us into alignment and into the boundaries where we can find freedom. Find freedom. So if I am walking in fear, that is not God's plan for my life. No matter how you try to spin it, it's not God's plan for me to walk in fear and for me to walk in self-loathing. That is not God's plan. That is not biblical. It is nowhere in Scripture that God says, I have given you a spirit of fear. Walk in it. He said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. What you have to do is look at it and then appropriate it into your life and then walk it out. Don't forget that it's there, but then walk it out. And God says, as you begin to walk it out, guess what? You'll begin to see freedom and you'll be the envy of people. Why? You'll be so blessed till people will say, what is it about you that you rise? What is it about you that you're confident? What is it about you that you went through that and you came out the other side? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. Jesus. It's Jesus. Because I've looked intently into the word and I found freedom. I didn't look at social media and wonder whether or not you like my post that put me into bondage or not. I looked into the word and the word gave me freedom. So when I looked at the post and you didn't like it, that didn't affect my freedom. Because, I looked intently into the word, and as I read the word, it helped me avoid the traps of likes and dislikes. It helped me avoid the traps of being accepted or not. It helped me avoid the trap of whether or not you appreciate me or not. Because I found freedom in the word because I looked up. That's my constant posture. And after I looked up, I started looking in. And when I looked in, I said, whoa. I want that freedom. Because what that does is that alleviates my desire to want to be bound or accepted by everyone else around me, because he said, I came to give you freedom. What would it look like in your life if you walked free, like really free? I'm not talking not having boundaries, because that's foolish. I'm talking about, what does it mean to walk free in your life? Like stuff, you know, the stuff that tugs you, like free from it. The stuff that you look to when you're having a down day to give you something. What would it look like if you walked in freedom and because of that, you became the envy of people around you, and all of a sudden God started to promote you because he could trust you that you would do what he called you to do? What would it look like? If the one thing that the last several years has taught me is no matter what happens in my life or the life around me. There is one who's worth following and who's faithful. No matter how you try to change the narrative or change what everybody else is saying, when it's all said and done, he's faithful, his word is right. He's faithful, his word is right. And I look and tell, it's the guardrail. It's the thing that keeps me where I need to be so that when something comes into my life that doesn't line up to the word, I can rebut it because the guardrail says, nah, not me. I don't have to be inclusive because the guardrail says, nah, that's not of me. Stop saying amen, right? So I'll keep coming back to it. You keep saying amen. So I don't have to be worried about identity issues because the word says, nah, that's not who I am. To worry about that. I don't have to worry about walking in fear. Why? Because the word says, nah, God doesn't give me a spirit of fear. That's why the word is so important. It's a guardrail. So when something comes in that challenges it, that you can butt it up against that, and the word has a buffering system of itself. If you ever notice that, as you walk and you're doing what God has called you to do, when something comes in that's counter to what the word says or truth, there's a rail that automatically will go up and say, nah, that's not of me. That's why you can tell what's happening with people when you see them. Or when you hear something from someone, you can discern whether or not it's from God or not. That's why when you go through something also, if you're in the word and the Spirit of God is active in your life, you can know whether or not it's God or not. If God says, today you will walk in condemnation, that is not God, because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about emotional health and not having soundness of mind and not understanding the importance of emotional health, because there are things that God will take you through that are just part of the process and that you just have to take. It has nothing to do with, well, this is not God because it's not easy. It has nothing to do with who God is. Sometimes you misinterpret God's will for ease and peace. Well, I really don't have peace about it, so I'm really not going to walk through it. If God says this is the road we're walking on, whether or not you have the peace to walk on it or not, guess what? We'll walk on that road. And as you do, the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I don't have to understand it before I walk it. I can walk it and then begin to comprehend, oh, this is God. Because God begins to take you down those roads that are important for your development and growth. And this is called discipleship. That's why we look into the word. If you don't want discipleship, don't look in. Because once you do, it has you. And this is a problem that we have in the world today. We have a lot of people celebrating Jesus, but they're not walking with Jesus. In theory, it's, yeah, I'm religious, but they're not really walking. Because once you begin to walk, God begins to tie you into some stuff and go to work on you, and you become a disciple, a follower or learner. I follow and I learn as I follow, and that means I submit myself under someone else who knows better than I do. See, that's where blessing comes in. I want to be blessed. Submit. That should be the posture of your spirit. This. Submit. I want to be blessed. All right. Number one, look up. Okay. Number two, submit to the word. What's the word say about it? Have you ever asked yourself that before you ask your friend? Debbie, what do you think I should do? I don't know. What does the word say? Oh, I never thought about that. You know, should. But we laugh, but we do it. Because we'd rather get alone with someone and have them counsel us and validate our feelings and tell us what we want to hear as opposed to, well, what does a word say about it? And as a side note, a good friend or a counselor is just going to validate what the word says. That's why you need to be careful on who you select to do life with. I'm not looking for someone to tell me what I want to hear all the time. I need someone who's going to be able to buffer me a little bit and tell me a little bit about that and come against me a little bit so that we can sharpen one another and that I can grow. I don't need you to tell me. There's a couple yes people, but I need some no's. But I don't like being around people who are just yesing me and that's all they do. I don't trust you. The reason why I like some of the people here is the fact that you're willing to get dirty and you're willing to go the distance and do what's necessary to get the job done, even though it might be hard. And you don't have to worry about, well, is this person going to tap out after a week because it didn't go well? That's what Jesus is looking for, by the way. That's what, when you look into the word, that's what you see. These disciples who were walking with Jesus, a lot of them tapped out. But there was a select few who stayed. Because Jesus knew, as we get going with this, it's going to narrow. Just so you know, that's why he doesn't get caught up in all this emotionalism. That's why, as a side note, that emotionalism in church, we got to be careful with it. That's why spirit-led emotions are so important. Because we get so caught up into this thing because we have an experience with God and we're all up in it. And man, I'll follow Jesus to the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, all right. And we start to go to work. And he took us up on the offer. But what it takes to get there is a different story. If you read in the book of John, many left Jesus. Teachings were too hard. Because Jesus said, that's it. My time's about to be up here. This is what I came to do. You need to live with a sense of urgency. You're not going to be here forever. Whatever God has put you on this earth to do, get to doing it. Stop waiting on someone else to tell you, Lord, if the Lord is leading you, start to do it. God will begin to direct your steps. Before you know it, it's going to be the end. And you're going to look back and say, what happened? Well, I was waiting on God. And God said, I was waiting on you. Missy even told the story today. Richie said this, but I said no. God is waiting on you. We don't have a lot of amens about that. Because the gospel message is, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And we love that. We're like, oh, yes, I'm going to wait on the Lord. It's an active hope. It's moving toward what God has called us to do. It's not I'm waiting on God just to tell me what to do. I need to start moving now. And this is where people get tripped up because there's just this battle between, well, I'm going to wait for the Lord to tell me to do that. You may never hear the Lord say, do this. But you will feel the Spirit of God urge you to start moving and to step out in faith. God does not speak audibly to most people. I'm sorry, he doesn't do it. If he does for you, praise God. He does not do that all of us. He doesn't do it. Why? Because the Spirit of God bears witness inside here. That's where you got to get to know him there. And that's why it's a walk of faith. Get to stepping. I remember having COVID 2 years ago. It's been so long ago. I'm like, COVID. I remember being in the hospital. I'm like, what is going on in here? Things were happening and, you know, a lot of things going on that night. And I said to myself, I'm not staying in here. One more night. It's a small room. God forbid they put something next to me. I'm like, that's it. I'm out of here. Shoot me up. Whatever you got to shoot me up with. I said, I'm starting to work out. I said, I'm moving. I am not staying in here. IV in my arm, oxygen in my nose. Got up at the bed, put that small little towel on the floor that they give you. I had the thing, I'm right here, I'm like, just doing stuff. I'm not staying here. That night was awful. Next day, I got up, came in. They said, what's up? How you doing? I'm like, I'm doing great. Looked like death, felt like crap. I am just doing great. Doing great. Still got the stuff stuck in my arm. Like, what are you doing? I'm just working out. What? Yeah, I'm not staying here, man. I'm going, I gotta get out of here. And I don't know what, the Lord must have did something little doop-de-doop, but they said, well, if we can give you some meds, will you go home and heal? I said, absolutely. Called up Publix downstairs. They ran out the drugs. Got my bag, called Misty, said, go, come get me. I'm going home. She said, what? I'm going home. She saw me. She said, I look like death. I'm like, I felt like death. I'm like, dude, I was in the clutches. I was in it. It wasn't like fake. It was like real. Yeah. So that's the process. And I got home. And over time, I got better. It wasn't quick. The key was, I'm moving. God is not going to literally resurrect me out of this bed. I wish he would. But what pleases him is my faith. Because without that, it's impossible to please him. And guess what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Lord, I know my faith is what you're pleased with. Guess what? And guess what? He's all right, come on. I'm going to meet you. That's what he responds to. That's it. I understand bad days, but your bad days should not be seasons. It cannot be. Unless you're not learning what you need to learn, get out of that season. God has a timetable for you. Grieve what you got to grieve. Do what you got to do. Do not stay the widow who never remarried if you don't have to. It's not God's plan and God's heart for you to stay stuck. And the enemy would love for you just to stay stuck and never come out of a season that should have been done already. But we're still in it. We're like, why are we still in it? We're going around the same mountains. God just doesn't love me. Why am I still dealing with this? Stop the rhetoric. Look up. What does God's word say? What does he ask you to do? And start to do it. I don't have time to waste any longer for me to go around the same mountain. This is what we do. The same mountains. How you doing? Ever talk to people like this? How you doing? Same stuff. Well, just waiting on, just believe in God. When is he going to come through for you? And this has to mess with you a little bit. Because there are seasons of waiting. No one's saying there aren't seasons of waiting. But haven't you got to the point you do more waiting in life than you do receiving? So that means I have to actively move. And as I actively move, God drops stuff in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want God, and we want God to give it to us. And God says, well, the end of the road is over there. You're going to have to start here and walk. Lord, I want you just to take me from here to there. No. Walk through it. Cry it out. Believe me in faith. Throw what you know. Do what I've called you to do. Do it. And that's to walk. I'm saved, but I'm being saved. God will not do everything for you. Studies have shown, and some of you who play sports might know this, but if you get an injury in sports, 2 days after the injury, the muscles start to atrophy. Only 2 days. You start to lose the strength that you have. Ask Toby, you're gone for 2 weeks here? You come back? Should never left. Why? The process is it goes that quick if you're not consistent. One thing I love about God, though, is that there is spiritual muscle memory. God will make sure you learn the lessons so that the next time you come up against something, it's like automatic. I know what to do now. I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is now. Oh, I see you're trying to bring that. Oh, I know what it is now because it's so in me now. Why? Because I learned in the process, I learned how to deal with it. Take it down. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I learned. And every time I did it, I learned. And God got me through stuff quicker. Oh, now it's like, don't even bother me. No. Why? Because learn to deal with it, overcome it, and move on. That's God's heart. His heart is not for you to stay in a perpetual state of loathing that is not God. What kind of a testimony is it? We serve a God who wants us in a perpetual state of loathing. I'm not saying growing. We're always growing. But if I look up, I can find joy, even in the circumstances, to know that he's with me. And if he's for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter. Look in. Third thing is this. Look over. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by what? Grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God said, I got something. You don't get it all, but I got something for you. Because we got stuff coming, he said, down the pike. You're not going to want to miss this. I saved you, not because of anything you did, but because of my mercy. I got something for you. Because I want you to look like I look. Don't you see that when it comes to God? If you would look from his perspective, things aren't as bad as you think. There have been times where I have looked over stuff and God said, that's how you're supposed to look at it. Yeah. Almost like, I see that. Take that. Move that. Okay. Instead of doing this, and this is what we do, we succumb to it. We succumb to it. Oh, Lord, I'm emotionally drained. I can't do it. I'm not saying this doesn't happen, but this should not happen perpetually your whole life. Eventually, you get strong enough to say, oh, I got it. There was one tear, I thought, I got it. I got this one. Oh, help, church, I got this one. I got it. And when you start to say, I got this one, the enemy gets nervous. Oh, man, they know now. Oh, I got this one. Oh, I got this one. Don't worry about it. I got it. And so now I got it. Okay. And God begins to show you some stuff. You're like, oh, I see that. I got that. Good. Done. Next. And the enemy gets nervous because his hold lessens. Because now you're realizing I can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony because I saw that he was faithful. I saw what he did. Now what you do doesn't matter. Look over. If you ever got into a fight, and we want to ask who and when and where, most of us have it one way or another, the better position was always on top. And if you were good, you might have ended up on your back, but you got back up because you were just that scrappy. Jesus has never lost. Never will lose. Ever lives to make intercession for you. Never gets tired. Never be able to out-search him. Figure out something he can't. It's already figured out. He wants you to figure out who you are in him. Once you do that, it changes everything because all of a sudden you realize, wait, his desire was for me to be a son or a daughter. He purchased me so I can be a son or a daughter. Everything that he's given Jesus, he's given me. So I'm in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I roll with a high roller. There is someone in my life who is for me, not against. He died so that I can live. He gave me breath in my lungs so I can breathe. He showed me the way that I should take even though it was hard. He was faithful even though I was not faithful. He gave me the ability to tear down the strong. He was the one who came through. It wasn't me. He was the one. And when I begin to see Jesus as my all in all, everything begins to change and things begin to happen and I begin to rise up against stuff. And I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? No matter what the devil tries to throw at me, it's not going to work. My enemies have to scatter as I begin to praise Jesus, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall condemn. Why? Because I am the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus. I'm the one who God has called. I'm the one who God has chosen. And that whatever the enemy tries to do, in the end, it's going to work out for my good. I might have to limp. I might have to cry. I might have to crawl. But guess what? I'm better for it. I'm built for it. I can do it. Why? Because I looked up and I looked in, and now I'm looking over you, and now things begin to change, and I can leap over things and walk over things. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's all stand to our feet if we can. Man, come on up here. Come on. Come on, man. Let's go. This isn't... Listen, this isn't playtime. I do not like some of the things that I did when I was a kid anymore. They repulse me now. Because I did it when I was a kid. I'm playing with a different set of rules right now. I'm playing with a different set of marbles right now. If I have the mind of Christ, that means what I'm thinking about trumps what you're thinking about if you're not a believer. So why do you succumb? Come on, Ethan. Why do you succumb to people who are not like you, who don't have the Spirit of Christ inside of them, but you succumb to their ideas or their viewpoints on life, when the one who's in you is greater than them? And we back out in fear because they're intellectual. But listen, I'd rather be spiritual than intellectual, because if I'm spiritual in this way, if the Spirit of God is inside me, I got all I need. So I can look past what you're throwing at me right away and say, oh, I see what you are. But what we do is that we like to play because it's just what it is. You know, we're alive and it's cute. It's cute to see some of the things. Not really. It's not cute anymore, right? It's not cute. It gets to the point, like, you almost try to kill me. That's not cute anymore. So now I have a problem with you. So that woke me up to the fact that there are bigger issues now here at stake. There's something bigger going on here than just me. I can't afford to miss it. I can't afford not to be part of it. And maybe that's where you're at today. You know there's something bigger going on. You can sense it. Sense it. And God is trying to get his kids in position, guys, to look over. Not under, over. If I'm seated in heavenly places with him, I'm supposed to look over stuff. It doesn't mean I don't start here and end up here. Because sometimes I got to start at the bottom of something in order to climb up and get over it. But in the journey, God shows me stuff about it, and that's cool. But once I get up here, guess what? I'm not going back to that one. I'm sorry. I'm going to another level of faith. I already did that one. I'm going to another level. So now I look up. I look over stuff. So when you try to throw stuff about the childhood back up, it's laughable now. If you allow the work to take place and God to heal. But if you're always buffing up against stuff and God can't heal it, then you're always be on that roller coaster somewhere between, I can maybe see over it, but I'm still looking. God wants you up, sons and daughters. Anybody want to be up in here looking over stuff? Anybody want to look over? That's all hands in the air. Even if you don't want to, do it in faith. That's what pleases him, okay? You want to stay stuck, fine, but let's look up. Lord, I thank you for the pain in the process. Lord, I thank you for the struggle that makes us better. Helps us to rely upon you as we move through those things in our life that you want us to get through. Thank you, God, for where you've taken us. God, we thank you, Lord, for the past 5 years. Lord, even past that, we thank you for what you've taken us through, even in our childhoods. God, even in our life, how you brought us in through discipleship, how you began to disciple, just teach us things. Thank you, God, for the teachability, Lord, that of our spirits and how you taught us things. God, we thank you for waiting with us, challenging us, bringing us into maturity today. Everyone in the sound of my voice in this room, God, I thank you, Lord, for the process. I thank you for the things you stripped away. Lord, the things you broke off. Every one of them. Thank you for the level of influence they are right now. Increase their power in this room. Increase it. Help them to start to walk over stuff and to look at things like you look at them. Thank you that they're sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no doubt in your mind that they're yours. Correct our thought process. Help us to see that you're always with us. You never leave us or forsake us because you're faithful. God, we rehearse your faithfulness in this room. We thank you that you never left us. We thank you that you saw through some hard nights. Hard nights. Those that are in this room are going through a breaking process even right now. Give them the strength to endure it. The strength to endure it so they can become all that you've called them to be. Because we know that the latter will be greater than the former, because he who promised is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.